Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer trademark lion is shown. Showboat. A wide river is edged with thick, leafy trees that crowd the shoreline. The waterway flows gently under a cloudless blue sky and meanders into the distance through the lush countryside. The sun hangs low on the horizon, painting the sky in shades of pink and purple. The colors reflect in the peaceful water. Later still, the moon's glow sparkles against ripples on the surface. Time passes, and daylight comes to the river. Steams its way toward shore, black smoke pouring from two tall stacks. Captain Andy smiles on deck.
Hey, the showboat's coming!
A child shouts from a tree.
Come on, mule, get!
A child rides off on a mule. Captain Andy is standing beside a small pipe organ. Workers in cotton fields look up smiling, and a man wipes sweat from his brow. On board, steam pours from the pipes of the organ. People in an antebellum home smile, and a man waves his hat from a boat. The child rides past men emptying bags of cotton. The workers leave the fields. Other people pour from their small houses. People run from a large home carrying their drinks and parasols. A man climbs onto a porch railing and waves his top hat to women on a second floor balcony as the cotton blossom glides toward shore. Scores of people run or ride in horse-drawn wagons. Firemen slide down their poles and run from the firehouse as a mass of people hurries down a dirt street through the business district of a town. The townspeople break into a run and line the water's edge, waving as the cotton blossom glides through the water. As Captain Andy pulls the boat's whistle cord, entertainers in bright costumes take their places on the boat's deck, playing colorful tambourines. They wave their tambourines over their heads, then continue playing. The crowd waves. Entertainers march down a ramp. Entertainers perform on the dock. Captain Andy marches from the boat, wearing his captain's uniform and playing a cornet. A band in purple and white uniforms is marching single file behind him. He leads them in front of the entertainers, then circles back onto the cotton blossom as the crowd watches. He faces them from the bow of the paddle wheeler. Captain Andy plays his cornet.
Whoa.
hurries down the ramp.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is with exhilarating gratification that I bring once again my theatrical offering to your fair community. I want you to meet some of the greatest artists that ever played the River Towns. Miss Ellie Mae Shipley.
A blonde-haired young woman scurries from the boat with a bright pink cape around her.
Host of Cairo, Illinois.
She nods to the crowd.
Next, I want you all to meet Frank Schultz.
Frank hurries out and waves happily.
Mr. Schultz is the villain in our play.
He dons a mustache and sneers.
But off stage, he wouldn't hurt a fly.
He smiles and joins Ellie.
And he stuck on Ellie.
That's the way they always are, folks. Just one big happy family. And I'm their father.
A woman in a gray dress leaves the boat.
And Parthy here is their mother.
She looks around somberly.
I worked in a new one, didn't I? We're the parents of one big happy family.
You're a big bellowing catfish. Now get these handbills started.
Now, I want you to meet the little sweetheart of the South, our songstress and leading lady, Miss Julie LaVert.
Julie, an attractive dark-haired woman, walks toward the crowd in a form-fitting pink and yellow gown. She smiles widely.
Just to know her is to love her, folks. Here, I want you to know the handsomest leading man in the Middle West, the famous Mr. Stephen Baker.
Stephen joins Julie on the ramp.
A sample of soul-stirring emotion, folks.
No, Hamilton, I cannot accept you, for I'm not worthy of your noble desires.
On my mother's name, tell me why.
Look into this room and view the secret of my downfall.
Have to see the play tonight, folks, to learn her secret. Tempest and Sunshine, beautiful drama of tears and laughter. And then, after that, the grand concert. Songs and dances.
Andy clicks his heels.
Beyond description. Yeah. Frank and Ellie, just a sample.
Frank leads Ellie away by the hand.
Just a sample, folks.
Captain Andy lifts his cornet. Frank removes Ellie's pink satin cape, revealing her short green costume. Frank and Ellie begin dancing, and they circle around each other. She hops up, and he carries her to a cotton bale and sets her on top of it. He leaps up, extending one leg in the air, and jumps over it with the other leg. She joins him, and they dance together in front of Captain Andy and the other entertainers. Facing each other, they kick their legs in the air, trade places, and begin tap dancing. They stand beside each other, holding hands and dancing repeatedly from side to side. He stops and she keeps going. He grabs her hand firmly and they dance side by side to their right. She does a cartwheel in front of Frank and he holds her waist as she spins by. She leaps into his arms and he holds up his hat.
Frank and Ellie! Frank and Ellie! Just a little bit more!
Parthy steps to Andy.
Are you in business for your health? Here, get finished and get these things started. Go on, take them, go.
She gives him the handbills.
Stephen, my boy, pass those out among the adoring young ladies.
All right, Captain.
A sailor swaggers down some stairs, tosses a cigarette aside, and stops beside a woman. He glares at her necklace.
Hey, where'd you get that? Stole it, huh?
I ain't stole nothing, Mr. Pete. Miss Julie give it me out of the kindness of a big heart.
He yanks it from around her neck and walks away. He carries it to Julie. Walking up behind her, he grabs her arm and motions with his head for her to go with him. She steps to his side.
What's the idea,
get
given my present?
She turns away. Stephen is giving out handbills and sees Pete grab Julie's arm and pull her toward himself. Stephen hurries toward them.
Something you don't understand, zebra gal.
I told you to stay away from my wife.
Ah, she's nothing but a...
Stephen hits him. Pete knocks Stephen over a bale of cotton. Captain Andy hurries over and Julie watches as the men continue fighting. Pete is knocked off the ramp into the grass and Frank pulls Stephen away.
Here, Frank, take him aboard.
Andy, come on up.
Well, folks, I guess we fooled you that time. The boys just played you another little scene from one of our shows.
A man brushes dirt from Pete's coat as Pete watches Stephen leave with Julie.
Well, folks, don't forget tonight.
Lucky puncher.
Yes, sir, get your tickets now.
Pete leaves.
Come along, everybody.
Please, Mr. Pete, don't go getting yourself all riled up over things. Besides, Mr. Steve and Miss Julie, they got to play performances here.
Yeah, I know a thing or two. We'll see how many performances they play in this town.
Pete storms off. Later in town, he looks into the sheriff's office, then turns to a man sitting on a bench outside.
Hey, where's the sheriff?
Down there.
He walks away, passing a saloon. Men are playing cards inside.
19.
Good.
It's over $2,000 you've lost. You're unlucky.
Only in temporary condition, I assure you. Here's the boat ticket to New Orleans. Is it playable?
Suits me. League is sort of stranded, won't it?
You were presupposing a calamity, sir?
After laying down the ticket, a handsome gambler blows on the handle of his walking stick, rubs it, and picks up his cards.
I'll stand. Pay 18. You presupposed perfectly.
He picks up his walking stick and leaves.
Sorry.
Good day.
The gambler takes a thin cigar from his pocket and puts it in his mouth as he walks away. Later, he's walking along a hillside, staring down at the cotton blossom. He stops, then turns to look at a barefoot little boy sitting on a gnarled tree trunk. The little boy is chewing on a piece of straw and staring down at the paddle wheeler.
A lot of water down there, eh, boy?
Yes, sir. Where he all come?
Same place it's going, son.
He tightens his lips, making a dimple in his cheek.
Tears, huh?
The gambler walks toward the cotton blossom. He's wearing a top hat, a ruffled shirt, and a jacket with tails as he carries his walking stick along the water's edge. He stops and tosses the cigar into the water.
Who cares if my boat goes upstream? Or if the gale bids me go with the river's flow? I drift along with my fancy. Sometimes I thank my lucky stars, my heart is free. And other times I wonder, where's the mate for me?
He stops at the end of a ramp by a ticket booth.
Ticket for tonight, mister?
Possibly. Does this boat go to New Orleans?
Yep, winds up there.
I'd like to speak to the owner.
They're all up in town giving the street concert.
I'll wait for them.
He strides up the ramp.
The driftwood floating over the sea someday finds a sheltering lee, so somewhere there surely must be a harbor meant for me. I drift along with my fancy. Sometimes I thank my lucky stars, my heart is free. And other times I wonder,
don't break my life again.
Where's
the sir, is there no mercy in your evil soul? No kindness in your ugly heart?
He steps to a window.
Oh, sir, what manner of foul jackal are you? Coming into our humble home, rich as you are, yet reeking of the carrion of the fleshpots. Oh, sir, I plead with you on bended knee.
He sees a young woman alone on stage.
From the torn and wretched heart of a mother, stop giving my little daughter diamonds and go home to your wife.
Bravo, bravo. Now, that's just what the scoundrel needs.
Oh.
She removes a wig.
Oh. Oh.
He watches as she removes a costume from over her clothes.
Yes, is there anything I can do for you?
More of the same. Magnificent.
Well, I'm afraid I just can't. You see, I really should be getting these clothes brushed and aired.
The petite young woman carries costumes from the stage and stops in front of the gambler. He tips his hat and grins as she hurries away with a brush and the armful of clothes. She rushes up some stairs on deck, and he steps to the railing.
Well, isn't that rather menial work for a leading lady?
Oh, but I'm not the leading lady.
You're not? Well, that's hard to believe. You certainly look like it.
As a matter of fact, I'm not even a member of the company.
No?
No. Well, I mean, not professionally.
Well, I'd say that's a desire that your heart is set on.
Well, at least you're right there.
Why do you want to be an actor?
Why? Well, the ordinary person wouldn't understand. I mean, that is, a person outside the profession.
No? Well?
He helps her hang clothes on a line.
You want to be an actress because it makes everything come true. Every exciting thing you've ever dreamed about. Even if it's make-believe, isn't that it?
Yes, that is it, but how did you know?
For instance, right now, you and I could be Romeo and Juliet. Or Elizabeth and Essex, or...
Or Lady Southwaite and Hamilton Barsdale.
Or Lady Southwaite and... Who?
Oh, well, they're in The Tempest and Sunshine.
Oh, yes, of course.
He smiles down at her.
As a matter of fact, we couldn't be anybody talking like this. We haven't been properly introduced.
Well, that makes no difference in make-believe.
He helps her hang up a dress.
Well, I suppose that's true.
She absent-mindedly brushes a costume.
So we could make believe that we'd just fallen in love at first sight.
Only make believe I love you. Only make believe that you love me. Others find peace of mind in pretending. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't I? Wouldn't we? Phantom kiss or two or three. Mine is well make believe I love you. For to tell the truth,
sweetest game I know. Our dreams are more romantic than the world we see.
And if the things we dream about don't happen to be so, that's just an unimportant technicality.
Though the cold and brutal fact is, you and I have never met. We need not mind conventions, P's and Q's. If we put our thoughts in practice, we can banish all regrets.
Couldn't you?
Couldn't I?
Couldn't we?
Thank you.
They gaze into each other's eyes.
All right, everybody, hang up your costumes.
The players return.
There's my father and mother.
Just the parties I wish to see.
He smiles at the young woman and removes his hat.
To our next meeting, and soon.
The tall gambler walks away as Parthy and Captain Andy board the Cotton Blossom.
Captain and Mrs. Hawks, alum.
Ravenel.
Gaylord Ravenel of the Tennessee Ravenels. I understand that you're heading for New Orleans.
That's right, sir.
We don't carry passengers, young man.
Oh, naturally, ma'am. But you see, I'm an actor. And I thought possibly there might be an opening in your company for my services. I don't have my notices here with me.
Sorry, Mr. Ravenel. We're full up. Troop's been with me all season, just doing fine. I'm really sorry, because I guess you cut quite a figure before the footlights.
It doesn't seem to be my day. My thanks just the same, sir.
He looks up at the young woman and bows, hat in hand. She nods with a smile. Ravenel walks away as Parthy glares up at her daughter.
Magnolia? Magnolia! Come help Queenie with these stores.
Yes, Mama.
Hawks?
Yes, Parthy.
In their cabin, Stephen's pacing the floor and Julie standing by a window.
I've got to do it, Julie. I've got to split his thick skull.
No, darling, it's all over now. Let it lie. We can't risk any trouble in this town.
But the scurvy, slimy. There's still not enough room in this boat for the two of us.
They turn nervously toward the door.
Come in. I stole a banana for him, and I...
Magnolia enters, and Stephen walks away.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, honey. Go and give it to him. You can't spoil him any more than you have already.
Magnolia faces a cage as Stephen leaves.
Where to, Sir Lancelot?
Get a cup of coffee.
Julie follows him out.
Gonna be a good boy?
Sure, if that's what you want.
He faces her with a slight smile, then goes to her. He takes her in his arms, and they kiss. As they part, she smiles up at him. She slides her arm around his shoulders, and they kiss again. She runs her finger along his jawline, and he walks away. She smiles.
That rattlebrain mule.
Magnolia steps up behind her.
Oh, golly, buddy, he loves you. Of course he does. I'm the belle of the ball.
They walk toward the ship's rail.
You know, I think it's wonderful.
Well, go ahead and tell me about your handsome stranger. Well, I saw you talking to him. That's what you came in for, isn't it?
I asked Papa about him. He said he's an actor looking for work.
An actor? Oh, you might love that.
But, Julie, he's so different.
River Dandy's a thick as locust, Angel.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know about men. I've had them look at me and, you know, flirt and all, but when he stood there by the window and smiled,
pulses began to pound right here, huh?
Well, look, why do you love Steve so much? The way you were just now, for instance.
Oh, Steve, I love him because, oh, I don't know. He's not a very good actor on stage. You know, he's not a very good actor off stage either. But he's all mine. And sometimes his eyes are like a little boy's.
There. Could you ever think of loving anyone else?
Oh, listen, sister. I love my Mr. Man. And I can't tell you. No reason for me to love that man. It must be something that the angels done planned. Gotta swim, birds gotta fly. I gotta love one man till I die. Can't help loving that man of mine. tell me slow. Tell me I'm crazy. Maybe I know. Can't help loving that man.
Hurries up to her.
Oh, Julie, that's wonderful. I could feel that way, too.
I'll bet you will someday.
They look across the boat. They run to a railing and look down at some men playing harmonica, guitar, and banjo.
Fish gotta swim,
birds gotta
fly. Birds gotta fly.
I've gotta love
one man till I die.
Down on the levee, the gals put a little shuffle in it.
Julie and Magnolia dance with a fluid shuffle.
Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow. Tell me I'm crazy, maybe I know. Can't help loving that man of mine.
They dance in a circle in their long dresses.
Now watch this one, honey.
Julie skips from side to side.
That's the rain.
Yeah, that's it.
But when he comes back, that day is far. The sun will shine. He can come home as late as can be. Home without him ain't no home to me. Can't help loving that man.
Parthy stops behind Magnolia with a glare, then walks to the railing and looks over at the men playing music. She looks at her daughter.
I thought you were going to help Queenie with the supper.
I will, Mama. I will.
Well, that's how it is, Angel.
Parthy watches Julie leave.
From now on, you have nothing to do with her, do you hear?
But, Ma, Julie's my friend.
That stops right now.
But she's sweet and she's kind.
It's perfectly plain to me what's happening on board this boat. And I'll not have my daughter mixed up with any hussy who allows herself to...
Mama, I'll not listen to another word against Julie.
Magnolia hurries away. That night, the cotton blossom is brightly lit. Inside, Frank rushes on stage to a crowded audience. Ellie passes with a parasol, and he catches her arm with the crook of his cane. He pulls her back to his side.
Little girl, you are safe with me. I can protect what's mine. I am a sturdy maple tree, and you're my clinging vine.
Woods are just full of maple trees, cedar and oak and pine. Let me look them over, please, and then I'll let you know. If you have a show.
They sit on a love seat facing opposite directions, and she lifts her feet.
After I have looked around the world for a mate, then perhaps I might fall back on you.
He moves the chair in a circle.
When I am convinced that there is no better fate, then I might decide that you will do.
I am just an average lad, though no gift to womanhood. Some girls say I'm not so bad.
Others say you're not so good. But if you are patient, dear, and willing to wait, there's a chance I might fall back on you.
They stand and she dances in a circle with her parasol as he kicks the love seat off stage. He takes her parasol and tosses it under his leg, catching it in the air. He tosses it again and she catches it by the handle. He snatches it out of her hand as she passes, then tosses it back to her once again as she dances by. Holding each other by the waist, they spin in the center of the stage. He catches his cane as it's tossed from off stage. He taps it back and forth from one side of himself to the other as she circles around him. They link arms and dance together. Taking long steps, they make their way across the stage, then circle and begin kicking their legs in unison. He slides the cane across the floor, and she leaps over it. They begin dancing in unison again and spin on stage as she holds her parasol in both hands and he holds his cane. He tips his hat down over his eyes at a jaunty angle and they move across the stage with pointed steps, then circle and kick. Facing the audience, they link arms and begin kicking into the air, their legs rising higher and higher. Slowly forward, they continue kicking and making their way off stage. They return to the stage for a bow as Captain Andy leads the band. As the dancers perform another dance, Parthy leans from backstage and motions to Captain Andy. Captain Andy motions for someone else to conduct, walks past the dancers on stage, and faces Parthy in the wings.
What is it?
I knew there'd be trouble with her.
Trouble? With who? With Julie? What? Steve? Hey, wait a minute. What happened? Well, what is it?
It's Pete. We're the sheriff, Captain.
The sheriff? But our license is paid for.
We heard him talking something about Miss Julie.
The sheriff's gonna arrest Miss Julie.
Arrest Julie? But, Papa, Julie's done nothing wrong.
Here, honey.
Stephen grabs Julie's brooch.
Won't hurt much.
He pricks her finger and puts his mouth against it.
Right in here, Sheriff.
Pete leans against the doorframe as the sheriff enters.
Hi, Wendy. Captain Hawks, I got some unpleasant news for you. You got a miscegenation case aboard.
What? I don't know what
you... You know what I mean, Captain. Case of a Negro woman married to a white man. Criminal offense in this state. Name of the white man, Steve Baker. Name of the Negress, Julie Laverne, born Julie Dozier.
Julie.
Julie, the record says you were born in this county. Your pa was white and your ma black. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
You two better get your things.
You wouldn't call a man white that's got Negro blood in him, would you?
No, one drop of black blood makes you black in these parts.
Well, I got more than a drop in me. Hear that.
You willing to swear to that in a court of law?
Any place. Ask any one of these folks here. Every one of them can swear that I've got Negro blood in me right this minute.
But how come this man here, who's been traveling around with you, comes to me and tells me...
I'll tell you why. Because he's a no-account river rat who's been bothering Julie and she'd have nothing to do with him. He's mean and he's ugly. That's why.
No.
I...
She's right, Sheriff. My daughter is telling the truth. We all can swear to it. You're fired. Get on the wharf and wait for your pay.
I was only doing my duty.
Get off this vessel.
Captain Andy faces Pete and glares. Pete leaves as Ellie and Frank stop dancing and come backstage.
Take over, Julie. We're tucking.
Julie! Julie,
look here. Can't you go on just once more?
But look, it's the last number.
No, Captain, I can't be responsible for the safety of this community if the word gets out. Now, you've got to close the show right now.
Come on, darling. We'll pack up and get out of here first thing in the morning.
Come on, Julie!
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 Later, fiery sparks fly from the tall stacks as smoke trails into the night sky. Captain Andy walks through the engine room, and the man who brushed off Pete's jacket looks up.
Be sailing soon?
Yes. Yes, as soon as...
Uh-huh.
Captain Andy walks away, slipping his jacket on as he moves onto the deck. He sees Stephen walking across the ramp to shore carrying luggage. He loads it onto a waiting wagon. In her cabin, Julie is packing a bag. She crosses the room and looks up as Magnolia enters.
Julie, your Ma wouldn't like this.
She's asleep.
Julie, I had to. I didn't have any wrapping. I made it into a pincushion. It was for Christmas.
Magnolia gives a doll pincushion to Julie.
Julie, nothing's changed. Oh, Noli, Noli, always true.
They hug.
You write to me. Let me know how things go. I'll never forget my Noli.
Julie turns away and finishes packing, then picks up her carpet bag and walks toward the door. She opens it and gathers up a monkey's long leash. It scrambles into her arms.
Stay happy now.
Julie leaves. Outside, Stephen walks back onto the boat, passing Captain Andy as he takes Julie's carpet bag. They walk together to Captain Andy.
Need any money?
No, thanks.
Goodbye, Steve.
The men shake, and Stephen looks into his hand.
No, I said we didn't.
Julie stops him.
Pride is smaller than kindness.
Thanks, Julie.
Stephen leaves.
Captain Andy.
Julie steps toward the captain and places her hand on his chest. He covers it with his hand and holds it for a moment as she steps toward Stephen, and they walk down the ramp to shore, the dismal night shrouding them in a hazy fog.
Mr. Steve, I wants to say I...
Goodbye.
Julie faces the man who brushed off Pete's coat. He holds her small hand in both of his.
Well, ride the river, Joe.
Miss Julie.
Keep riding the old river, Joe, boy.
Oh, Miss Julie, I wish I could...
She gently touches the side of his face and walks away. Stephen helps her onto the wagon, and she sits beside him as it drives away. Captain Andy watches sadly, wipes his finger under his nose, and leaves. Joe watches the wagon as it slowly moves into the hazy darkness.
There's an old man called Mississippi. That's the old man that I want to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land plant taters, he don't plant ransom is soon forgotten. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge and lift that bale, get a little drunk, Angel lands in jail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of scared of dying. But old man River, it just keeps rolling.
The paddle wheel begins to turn, churning up the Mississippi.
Quincy, can't you help? All right, boys, stand by with the plank. Cast off!
Joe hurries onto the boat. Ravenel arrives.
Captain Andy! May I be of service to you, sir? Yes! Yes! Hop aboard, young fella! Step lively!
Thank you.
The Cotton Blossom sails.
Sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, miss that bail, you get a little drunk, and you land in
as the Cotton Blossom continues down the Mississippi. Later, Captain Andy passes a sign reading, Rehearsal, New Cast.
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Captain.
Yeah, glad to see everybody so chipper this morning. But that's the spirit of this business. High wind or high water, the show must go on. Good morning, Dolly.
Good morning, Papa. Fine talk. But with capacity business waiting for us at Boonville tonight, who are we going to get for a leading man? Now, just answer me that.
Patience, Poppy, patience. Didn't know that I used to have a magic egg, did you?
He looks off stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gaylord Ravenel.
Oh!
The new leading man of the Cotton Blossom Troop and the coming idol of the river, or I don't know my business, which I do.
Thank you, Captain Andy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor.
You've met my wife, I believe.
A repeated pleasure, Mrs. Hoggs.
And my daughter, Magnolia.
Nolly smiles up at Ravenel, and he smiles back.
Only in make-believe.
All right, magician. Who are we going to get for a leading lady?
Your daughter.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Listen, we can't get no leading lady till we get to New Orleans. You don't want to give up all that box office, like you just said.
Yes, Mama, all that cotton crop money just fresh from being counted.
That's a lot to turn down.
Well, I still mean to say I don't want to go against principle, but...
Just until New Orleans, at least.
Oh, please, Mama.
Well, go on.
Wonderful. Miss Hawk.
Ravenel extends his hand to Nolly. Later, Parthy watches rehearsal from a box seat.
I see, and then I embrace her. Is that correct?
That's right. Now, let's take it again. Lean through.
Nolly and Ravenel face each other on stage.
Yes, Lady Southwaite, even though I know
Nolly, remember your smile. Your sweet smile here. That'll always get him.
Yes, Papa.
Yes, Lady Southwaite, even though I know your secret, the child is one to which I should like to give my name. Will you marry me?
Looking up from his script, Ravenel stares down at Nolly. She gazes up at him.
Oh, Hamilton, my own.
She steps into his embrace and they kiss. They part, and she throws her arms around his neck and kisses him again.
Just a minute, young man. We won't have any of that. We'll have none of your tricks on or off the stage.
But, Parthy, I thought that was kind of natural.
Nature isn't necessary in play-acting, Hawks, especially that kind. Play-acting is just make-believe. Now, hold her for a split second.
Uh-huh, I see.
With no kissing.
Oh, no kissing.
And then stand apart.
Then I
at arm's
stand
length,
apart.
At arm's length.
Oh, at arm's length.
Yes. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Very well, then.
Well, maybe. Still don't make no difference. Take it from me, I got a sixth sense about these things. You two are going over like floodwater.
Sure.
Magnolia Hawks and Gaylord Ravenel are going to be the hit of the river.
But hit or not, remember now, no nonsense. It's just make-believe.
Ravenel's eyes slide toward Nolly and he gives her a sly grin. She smiles back. Later, the cotton blossom is steaming along the river. The screen reads, Bluntsville. On shore, people are cheering, and a sign reads, Coming, Showboat, starring Captain Andy Hawks, Ellie Mae Shipley, and Frank Schultz. A small credit at the bottom indicates, also Magnolia Hawks and Gaylord Ravenel. Captain Andy sells tickets, and Nolly and Ravenel play their parts on stage. He places his hands on her shoulders, looks toward Parthy in the box seat, and presses his cheek toward Nolly's. The show moves to Cellartown. Touches Nolly's right cheek, but kisses her left. In Morgan City, they play to a sold-out audience. The box seat is empty. Ellie sends Parthy away to mend a costume. He walks on stage and kisses Nolly on the lips. Captain Andy smiles. She throws her arms around Ravenel and kisses him again. Later, the cotton blossom steams into the night. On deck, Nolly and Ravenel lean into each other's embrace and kiss.
What's the meaning of this?
Oh, Mama, Gail.
Get yourself ashore, Mr. Ravenel.
Sir, ma'am, I'm asking Nolly to be my wife.
You, a no-account river gambler? How dare you?
Gambler, yes, but hardly no account. You know yourself, Captain Andy, it's dead waste to stay cooped up here in this penny-ante existence. Nolly's meant for the life and happiness of the world.
I love her. And by heavens, I'm going to see that she gets them.
And you, standing there, are you proud and happy, looking forward to a life with such as him?
Nolly glances back at Ravenel, then looks at her mother.
Yes, Mama, I am.
Then that's a sight I never want to see again.
Oh, Mama.
Parthy walks away and Captain Andy takes Nolly's hand.
Bless you, darling. I love you always, no matter what you decide. Son, I hope it's not just Saturday night with a cold Monday morning to follow. Whatever happens, Nolly, always remember to smile.
He pushes the corners of her mouth up. She nods and turns away tearfully. Andy extends his hand to Ravenel, and they shake. Captain Andy glances toward his daughter and walks away. Ravenel goes to Nolly.
Are you still sure? Still sure this is what you want? Maybe you are taking a 100-to-1 chance.
I want you more than anything in the world.
Mrs. Gaylord Ravenel.
They hug tightly.
You.
Kiss. Later, two white horses pull a trolley along its track in Chicago. In a lush hotel, bellboys are carrying luggage through the lobby, and people are walking near a wide stairway. Nolly is waiting in the lobby as Ravenel steps from the front desk to join her. He puts his arm around her, and they walk to an elevator. The operator tips his hat as they get in. At a gaming table, Ravenel throws a 7, takes the dice, and casually throws them again. He wins. He rolls once more, and his earnings climb. Later still, they're riding behind two matched horses in a monogrammed carriage. At a roulette wheel, Ravenel wins more money and rubs the handle of his walking stick as more chips are stacked in front of him. Snowy evening, a Christmas tree is decorated with a silver star and brightly burning candles. A pile of gifts are wrapped with red and green bows under the tree. Nolly opens a heart-shaped purple velvet box and finds a lavish necklace and earrings inside. She turns happily to Ravenel and kisses him. Later, Ravenel's playing cards with some men. He places a bet and shows his cards, and another man rakes in the chips. At a racetrack, Ravenel and Nolly watch horses running toward the finish line. They look somberly toward the track as Ravenel tears up his ticket. Nolly takes his walking stick, blows on it, and rubs it with her hand. That night, he pays a carriage driver and goes into his hotel. The doorman steps forward.
Mr. Ivanov.
Yes?
Is your team laid up?
Had to sell them. Doctor's orders. Mr. Ravenel will have to do a lot more walking from now on.
She takes his arm and they go inside to the front desk.
Tea, please.
Mr. Ravenel.
Yes?
Your account is 6 weeks overdue. I'd like to have immediate payment.
Well, isn't that rather a brusque way to inform us?
That's right. But by tomorrow night, or...
We'll have our bill ready at that time. Come, darling.
They walk to the elevator as it fills with people.
Sorry, next car, please.
The doors close, leaving them standing alone. Later, Nolly walks from a lavish bedroom with her jewelry boxes.
I suppose this sounds very dramatic, but they are all yours.
He takes them from her and opens the purple velvet case. He looks at her and lifts his eyebrows. She looks away sadly, and he shakes his head as he closes the box.
Very dramatic. Stop giving me your diamonds, madam, and go home to your husband's arms.
Gay, will you listen to me?
Even though I reek of the flesh pots, even though I cannot kiss the hem of your gown.
I won't have you bar.
Even though I am unworthy, as they say, I still have my pride, madam, me pride.
Oh, Gay, will you be sensible for once?
He lifts one eyebrow playfully and peers down at her.
Come here, you.
He sits, pulling her onto his lap, and they kiss.
You love me?
But I still...
I don't want your pretties, Angel. I don't need them. Now, you wait. I'm a lucky boy. Having you is proof enough, isn't it? I'll get another stake, and we'll be walking on tall air again. You trust me? Just don't stop loving me. If I ever catch you batting your eyes at another fellow, I will...
She kisses him.
I'm walking on the air, dear, for life is faded to lovers. I'm in the seventh heaven, there's more than seven, my heart discovers.
In the sweet improbable and unreal world, finding you has given me my ideal world.
Why do I love you? Why do you love me? Why should there be two?
Can you see the why I wail for? I should be the one you care for.
You're a lucky boy. I am lucky too.
What
dreams of joy seem to come true.
Maybe that. Because you love me, maybe that's why I love you.
Later at a card game, Ravenel writes an IOU for $8,700. He hands it to a man on his right, and the man looks at it.
Sorry, but that's too much money. I'd like the cash.
He gives it back.
Very well.
The gamblers and a blonde-haired woman in red stare at Ravenel.
Tonight, Ravenel.
I'll be back in a half an hour.
He picks up his walking stick and leaves. Later, Nolly gives him her jewelry boxes.
Don't worry, darling. It's only temporary. I'll get them back for you.
Everything could be temporary. Except us.
He kisses her forehead, gazes at her for a long moment, and leaves.
Get your things packed, honey. I'll be right back.
Later that night, maids are scrubbing the lobby floor and cleaning. Ravenel and Noli slink down the stairway and peer around a corner toward the front desk.
Charlie, get me a cup of coffee, will you, please?
Yes, sir.
Get the coffee. I'll take care of the elevator.
Okay, sir.
Charlie goes after coffee, and the desk clerk walks to the elevator. Ravenel and Noli slip past the front desk and hurry outside. A blustery wind blows leaves down the street and ruffles the feathers in Noli's fine hat. Later, Ravenel is walking down a snowy street and stops in front of a brownstone advertising furnished rooms. He hesitates for a moment, then walks up the steps. Inside a shabby apartment, Noli is holding a cup and saucer and sits on a couch. She takes a sip from the cup as Ravenel enters, unshaven. She stares forward without looking back at him.
Oh, you?
He takes off his hat.
You know?
He removes his coat and kisses her.
I've missed you.
She sits, unmoving.
Hot coffee. Now, that's a good bet.
How are your others?
How's that, honey?
Your other bets. Yesterday's and last night's and all the one last round before we break it up bets. Were they just as good?
He sits beside her.
You got a crystal ball, Dolan. My luck's sure been running shallow lately.
He leans back wearily for a moment, then sits up.
That loop crowd's tough, but I'll get to him. It's a lot of money goes through there. Listen, Nolan. I nearly hit the bonanza last night. Now we're in Jackson Bitter, and it goes to aces. And I got two of them back to back. Everybody drops out but Kirby. My next two cards are queens. I knew he was going into flush, but I had to stay, Nolan. I felt that third queen coming out of there just as sure as... Well, just as sure.
What does she look like?
What on?
The queen. Does she look like Cameo McQueen, for instance?
She stands somberly and steps away.
Oh, Noli, now look. If you think there's anything going on with Cameo or any other woman, I mean...
I know there's no other woman. No flesh and blood woman. I almost wish there were. I'd know how to fight then. But I can't fight this lady luck of yours. This fancy queen in her green felt dress. When you talked about her just now, I can't put that look in your eyes. She's whipped me. For days and nights now, weeks and months, she's whipped me, and I won't be whipped
Noli,
anymore.
Hush,
I just
darling.
Won't.
Noli, look. Tomorrow's Christmas, and I've still got a little bit left. We can go on. And...
Tomorrow isn't Christmas. No, it isn't. It's just like Papa said. It's going to be Monday. It's all just like Papa.
Noli.
You're a weak man, Gay. You're weak. You're weak. You're weak. You're weak.
Noli, I've had enough of this.
Take your hands off me.
She glares up at him steadily, and he slowly lets go of her shoulders.
We'll have to do something about this, won't we?
They stare at each other somberly. Then he goes into the next room, closing the door behind him. She glances around sadly, then walks to a room across from the kitchen. She comes out wearing a cloak and carrying a fur cape. She strokes it for a moment, then folds it over her arm and leaves the apartment. Later, she's coming out of a store and steps into a heavy snowfall. A sign painted on the storefront reads, Loans. She looks at some money in her hand and walks away, glancing at items in the store window, including Ravenel's walking stick. She stares at it, then hurries back inside. Later still, she returns to the apartment carrying two small presents and the walking stick. She steps to Ravenel's closed door and listens, then blows on the handle of the walking stick and rubs it. She puts it under a small Christmas tree with the presents, picks up Ravenel's coffee cup from the floor, and walks into the small kitchen. The door opens, and Ellie and Frank enter with an older woman.
Afford better than this.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were out.
Look at her. How are you?
Wonderful.
Oh, I'd rather see.
Oh.
How have you been?
What's happened? Well, we're booked into the Trocadero.
The Trocadero?
Uh-huh. We opened New Year's Eve.
Wonderful, Ellie.
Oh, we haven't been over there yet. Don't know who's on the bill or anything.
No?
But just as soon as we could, we were going to drop in on you over at the...
Ellie glances around the room.
Andy said that you were living at the Sherman House. Are you living here?
Oh, just temporarily.
Yes, but you'll be leaving today, won't you? These folks are looking for a place to live.
Oh, we know.
Your husband told me just a little while ago.
There must be some mistake. Oh, Gay, darling, get up and come see who's there.
She opens the bedroom door and sees a note lying on a bedside table.
Well, seeing as you all know each other, I'll drop back later.
The landlady leaves, and Nolly slowly enters the bedroom. She picks up the note, and money flutters to the floor.
Oh, no.
Ellie goes to her.
What is it? Nolly.
Nolly gives Ellie the note and stares out a window into the snow.
My darling, by the time you read this, I will be on a train heading west. What you said was true from the beginning. This money will help you get back home to those who love you. Not as I will always love you, but surely and safely. Remember our good times and forget all the rest, so that at least you will never hate me. Gay. Nolly.
Nolly smiles slightly and grasps Ellie's hand as she walks into the next room. She stops in front of the Christmas tree.
See? Look. Hooray, Saint Tiny Tim, and a Merry Christmas to you all.
She picks up the walking stick, rubs the handle, and sinks into a chair. Elsewhere, a sign reads, Happy New Year from the Trocadero.
All right, come on, take it back.
It's moved across a large room.
And look, lift it just as high as it'll go, so it's flush up against it.
A man rides a unicycle.
Mr. Green.
Yeah, that's fine, kid.
Is that about the height you want it all the way?
Don't bother me now, Joe, please. Julie, come on, let's get over there. Let's hear the new song, will you? Would you mind doing that in her dressing room? I'm trying to put on a show.
Oh, but Jake, this is a holiday season.
It's over for you, kiddo. Work. You promised, remember? That's a good girl.
Green has Julie's drink.
What's the matter with her?
He points to the drink.
She's starting in on a bust again? She better not. These fool one-man girls. Their fellow walks out on them, and they gotta tear themselves apart till they hit bottom. And I gotta suffer for it.
Julie leans against a piano.
Along came Bill, who's not the type at all. You'd meet him on the street and never notice him. His form and face, his manly grace, is not the kind that you would find in a statue. Oh, I can't explain. It's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. I love you because he's one. Because he's just my Bill. I used to dream that I would discover the perfect lover someday. I knew I'd recognize him if ever he came round my way, I always used to fancy that he'd be one of the godlike kind of men, with a giant brain and a noble head, like the heroes bold in the books I've read. But along came Bill, an ordinary guy. He hasn't got a thing that I can brag about, and yet to be upon his knee, so comfy and roomy, feels natural to me. Oh, I can't explain, it's surely not his brain that makes me thrill. I love him because he's, I don't know, because he's just my.
Green smiles at Joe from the club.
Yeah, can you keep her off a bottle?
His smile fades.
I'll try.
He faces Julie.
Will that do, Simon Legree?
Fine, Julie. Now, let's see the costume for the finale, huh?
Yes, Master. Yes, Master. Yes, Master.
She staggers slightly as she goes backstage.
Come on, Julie. Come on. Come on. Look what's waiting for you.
Mr. Green, can
yeah.
we do our number now?
A little later, girls.
We hope you like it.
I will.
Mr. Green?
Yeah?
Would you sign for these, please?
Green signs a delivery receipt.
Oh, hello, Charles. Oh, yeah, that's him, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Green?
Yeah.
Hi, Mr. Green. I'm Frank Schultz. Schultz and Schultz.
Schultz and Schultz. Oh, the dance act. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll be with you in a minute.
Say, we've got some great new routines for you.
Fine, fine.
Say, Mr. Green, we brought somebody with us that we think has real talent. We'd like you to hear her.
Yeah?
Noli Ravenel. Noli Hawks, that is. She sings like a nightingale.
I already got a singer. Besides, I...
Noli joins them.
Take off your hat. Yeah, I guess I got a few minutes. What kind of songs do you sing?
Well, Negro songs, mostly, and spirituals.
Jazz bow singer, huh?
Well, no, I...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, it won't do any harm to listen to her, Joe. All right, go ahead.
Noli unrolls a piece of paper as she walks to the piano player.
I wrote it out myself. I hope you'll be able to read it.
I'll make out, sister.
He props it up, and Green sits to do paperwork with Joe from the club.
Fish gotta swim. I've got a love one man till I die.
Go hurry your nibs with that costume, will you, Joe?
Help loving that man of mine.
Joe from the club walks backstage to Julie's dressing room.
Come on, Julie.
I've been trying.
Yeah, and Jake's getting all riled up about everything.
Just maybe I know.
Who's that singing?
Oh, some gala dance act brought in. Look, Julie, Jake wants to see this dress.
Julie appears on stage.
She's a pretty good looker, but she needs the job bad, I guess.
Needs a job? Why?
Schultz said she was married to some two-bit gambler, and he walked off and left her flat. Us boys are all no good, you know that. Come on, Julie, bring the dress.
Julie, dear,
You've got to try this dress on.
She returns to her dressing room.
Julie, come on, let's have the drink.
Shut up.
She picks up the pincushion Nolly gave her and cradles it to her breast.
He can come home as late as can be. Home without him.
She downs a drink and spills it on herself.
Mr. Green?
Oh, not bad. Leave word where we can reach you, honey. Something may show up later, see?
Charlie, keep trying, sister. You'll make it.
Thank you. Well, you two certainly did your best.
Mr. Green.
Huh?
Julia's gone.
What?
I ran after her all the way to the street. She just laughed at me, ran over the top of a bottle. She's quitting.
Well, what about my opening?
She said, if you don't hire the little girl who just sang, you're crazy, because she's good.
Why, that trampy little...
I'll go get her.
Oh, let her go, the dirty, worthless... Hey, you with a hat. Take it off. Let's hear that number again.
Later, a Happy New Year sign is hung over the entry as Captain Andy enters the Trocadero with three young women.
Happy New Year! Yes, sir, that's what I said to Buffy. I said, I'm going to Chicago to see Nolly and Gay for New Year's. Whether you come or not.
You wear the trousers, eh, Buster?
I wouldn't look good in skirts, would I? Happy New Year!
Right this way, Sevius. Right this way.
They follow a man to a reserved table.
Champagne, sir. Champagne, right. Fill the scuppers. Up.
I guess your daughter has plenty of lucre to be staying at the Sherman Hotel.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, they're not living there anymore. Got a place of their own now. Nolly never wrote me. Figured she wanted to surprise me.
Captain Andy stands for a moment to look at acrobats on stage.
But I'm going to surprise Nolly, because Ellie and Frank, they're the top lenders on the bill here. They'll know where she is, all right. Oh, with the finish. Happy New Year!
So you have a good excuse for a night out in the town, eh, Buster?
Don't need any excuse. This is New Year's Eve. Happy New Year!
And now the new sensational dance duo, Schultz and show.
That's Ellie and Frank. Oh, wait till you catch them. I turned in everything they know, myself. That's so. There they are.
He stands and claps as they come on stage. Frank and Ellie bow in front of a line of women in short black costumes. Ellie goes behind them as the women form two lines for her to walk through.
Life up on the wicked stage ain't ever what a girl supposes. Stage door Johnnies aren't raging over you with gin and roses. When you let a feller hold your hand, which means an extra beer or sandwich, everybody whispers, ain't her life a whirl.
She spins across stage to Frank dressed like a villain.
Though you're warned against a roue ruining your reputation, when you played around the one night trade around this great big nation, wild old men who give you jewels and sable.
He's dressed like an old man.
Only live in Aesop's fable. Life upon the wicked stage ain't nothing for a girl.
Though I've listened to you moan and grieve, you must pardon me if I do not believe you. There is no doubt you're crazy about your awful stage.
I admit it's fun to smear my face with paint, causing everyone to think I'm what I ain't. And I like to play a demi-monde role with soul. Ask the hero, does he like the way I lure when I play a hussy or a paramour? But when once the curtain's down, my life is pure. And how I dread it.
Life up on the wicked stage ain't never had a girl supposes. Stage coach on his arm and bringing over you with gems and roses.
I've got talent, but it ain't been tested. No one's even interested. Life up on the wicked stage ain't nothing for a girl.
She walks to Frank, who is dressed in a purple tuxedo jacket and stands on his right. He looks away and she steps to his left side. He looks away again. She wiggles her hips and waves her handkerchief boldly back and forth. She throws the handkerchief down and he scoops it up with his foot. She takes it with a smile and drops it again. He removes a handkerchief from his pocket and gives it to her. She takes it from him and faints. He steps away and runs into her again, center stage, shaking her hips and waving his handkerchief. He grabs it from her and puts it in his pocket. She nestles back against his chest and lifts her shoulders, wiggling them alluringly one at a time. She steps around him and they begin dancing together. He watches her closely as they dance. He moves behind her as she steps away. He takes her by the shoulders as he dances back, moving her along with him. He spins her quickly and picks her up by the waist. He puts her down and lowers her to the ground and dances over her. He helps her up and walks forward, kicking his legs as she leaps in the air behind him. They dance together, and he picks her up by the waist, and they spin in the center of the stage. He puts her down and brushes his hands together as she spins away, but his mouth gapes open as she comes back and leaps into his arms, turns a backflip, and kicks her leg like a chorus girl. They slide back and forth across the stage in long, kicking steps. He spins her by the waist and she spins him by the shoulders. As they dance across the stage, she flips her skirt back at him, then stops him and wags her finger in his face. He straightens somberly. He joins her in a dance, hopping side to side, then lifts her into the air. They spin together, then she stands behind him. He kneels and kicks his legs to the side as she circles her leg over his head. He stands and pulls her to his side, and they spin together again and again. He puts her down and places his hands on her shoulders, leaps over her head, and spreads his arms out wide. She jumps on his back and wraps her arms around him as they both smile broadly. Captain Andy faces the three women.
Excuse me, girl. If you don't mind, ladies, I'm going back and say hello to them. Now, wait right here. Don't go away.
But who will now charm you with a popular new ballad? First time on a Chicago stage, that sweetheart of the Mississippi, Miss Magnolia Ravenel.
Captain Andy turns wide-eyed toward the stage as Noli steps from behind the curtains. She stares at the audience as the band begins, then looks at the conductor. She steps forward hesitantly and smiles slightly.
I can't
Captain Andy smiles.
Why are you single?
He looks around the room. She sees her father.
Take her back to the river.
He pushes a drunk away.
No, remember what I told you.
He pushes up the corners of his mouth, and she smiles sadly.
After the ball is over, after the break of dawn,
the crowd begins to sway.
After the dancers leaving, after the stars are gone, many a heart is aching.
Joins her on stage. They hug. He pushes up the corners of her mouth. They waltz together. They stare at each other on stage. He pulls her to him and they hug as streamers and confetti fill the room. The stage fills with entertainers and partiers. Balloons fall from the ceiling. Later backstage.
And that's the way it is, Papa. Just like you said. It's Monday.
Sitting backstage, he looks away somberly and removes his hat.
Well, you're just going to forget him, Nola, darling. He's a scoundrel. No account.
Oh, no, Papa, no, he isn't. He was only trying to think of me.
Well, from now on, you can just be thinking of yourself. Well, after tonight, you're a big star. You can go to New York.
No, I can't. No, I can't. I can't just think of myself either. I'm going to have a baby.
They stare at each other, and his face softens into a smile. He cups her face in his hands and kisses her on the forehead. He pulls her toward him and presses his cheek against hers.
You say he was thinking of you? And he knew about this?
No, Papa. No, Gay never knew. You see, he was so worried and so down that, well, I was waiting for things to get better before I told him.
But I...
Don't worry, Papa. I want to come home. If you'll have me.
If we'll have you.
It will be a happy new year, won't it? It will be.
They hug again, and her laughter turns to tears in her father's arms. Elsewhere, people are celebrating on a train. Ravenel is is sitting alone at a table staring into the distance. Cards are scattered in front of him. He turns a card over and holds up the Queen of Diamonds. He crumples it in his hand. Later still, Nolly's in bed with a baby nestled at her side. Parthy and Queenie are with her as the doctor approaches Captain Andy.
And what name do we put down for the little lady?
Kim.
That's her name? K-I-M.
Kim Hawks.
Kim Ravenall.
Kim Ravenall.
Later, a cake with one candle reads, Happy Birthday, Kim. Kim is at a long table with Nolly, her grandparents, Ellie, Frank, Wendy, Joe, and Queenie. The curly-haired Kim stares down at the flickering candle. Later still, Ravenall is standing at a table of card players. A sign behind him reads, Happy New Year, 1894. A rowdy man leaves the table and Ravenall somberly takes his seat. On the cotton blossom, Kim is looking at a bird in a cage on a table. Andy covers it with a checkered cloth, shakes the piece of fabric, and pulls it back to reveal a spinning top. Kim claps happily as Joe pops up from behind the table. The top fades into a spinning roulette wheel where Ravenall is sitting with a pile of chips. He stares at the table somberly. The rake is stretched across the roulette wheel and it fades to the image of his walking stick on the cotton blossom. Kim picks it up, tucks it under her arm, and stands beside Captain Andy on stage. She copies his dance steps as he slides to his right. They kick their legs and wiggle their backsides, then tap dance together. She imitates his dance steps as they kick one leg, then the other, out to their sides. Joe is playing the banjo while Wendy plays a harmonica. On stage, they do a wiggle step forward, hop around and wiggle to the back of the stage, then continue tap dancing. Skip off stage. Holding hands, they come back on stage for a bow.
That will be all of that. Seems to me, Hawks.
Got a kiss for Grandpa?
Come to Grandma. Come on. Your supper's ready.
Oh, you poor starved darling. My goodness.
Parthy leaves with Kim and Nolly grins at her father. She looks down at the walking stick, blows on it, and rubs it with her hand. At night, a boat moves down a wide river. Inside a luxurious saloon, a well-dressed Ravenall carries a drink from the bar to a table and sits.
I think I'm going to sing.
Oh, sit down, sit down.
Oh, quit it, quit it.
Julie staggers to a piano.
Hey, look it. You know this one? Huh? Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly.
Ravenall looks up.
I gotta love one man, so I try.
Hey, Julie, come on, let's get out of here.
Only me alone, Dad.
Say, listen. Who bought your ticket?
That's rather untidy conduct, my friend.
Oh, it is, huh? Let's say, well, what do you think?
He hits Dan.
No cause for worry, folks. Just a little misunderstanding.
You know what cabin he has?
218.
Julie steps toward Ravenall at his table.
Thanks, mister.
That's all right.
I don't know why. I don't know why should matter to you.
Somebody used to sing that song. Somebody who mattered to me very much. Excuse me.
He tosses down his cards and walks away. She watches as he goes to the bar. Julie steps to the bartender, her low-cut red dress draping off her shoulders.
Hey, who's that fella?
Oh, fair-sized gambler. He travels with us now and then. Say, he's got a fair-sized punch, too.
A gambler, huh?
Amy Ravenel, is it?
Yes, Gaylord Ravenel.
So that's the...
Excuse me, ma'am?
Give me a neat ride.
Yes.
Just to get my courage up.
She adjusts the sleeves of her dress and straightens her hair. She downs the drink and staggers away. Outside, she looks around the deck.
Natchez, 10 minutes. We're landing in Natchez in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Landing in Natchez in 10 minutes.
She sees Ravenel.
Nice place, Natchez. You getting off there?
No. All the way to New Orleans.
Thought maybe Natchez. See, as there's a showboat tied up there.
No. No, still New Orleans.
Or maybe because you look like an actor.
Once I was, I admit to that. I'm sorry.
Is that all you're sorry about, mister?
Look, don't you think you better turn in?
Maybe you're sorry because you're some kind of rat.
She steps toward him and he stares down at her.
All right, so I'm a rat. Now, go to bed.
Oh, no, please, mister. I was talking about myself, maybe. Lots of rats come off showboat. On stage, under stage, sneaking off, kicked off. Kicked up. Taking things with them. Taking nothing. Me, mister. I was on one once, too.
Forget about it, honey. Get some sleep.
She was so pretty and sweet. So open up, trusting sweet.
Who? What are you talking about?
And you know something, mister? Some big, soft-talking card player came along and took her right off the cotton blossom. Right off where she belonged. And then left her broken alone in Chicago when she was going to have a baby. But there was nobody around.
What are you talking about? Who are you?
Hey, Julie, for the love, cut it, will you? We got to get off here.
Dan goes into his cabin.
Julie. So you... Look... What's that you said?
You want to see what you've left. You want to see him, mister.
She gives him a newspaper clipping. He unfolds it and sees a photo of Noli, Captain Andy, and Kim. The headline reads, Three generations of showboat stars in Natchez this week. Captain Andy Hawks, daughter and granddaughter to entertain.
I've kept track of him ever since she was born.
Kim. Kim Ravenel. Oh, no.
Now you see why I wish you'd never been nice to me. You see why, mister?
Please, Julie, take my oath. I never knew.
Hey, Julie!
Honestly?
Please, Julie, take my oath.
Last call, kid.
Look, I gotta go now. I hope I did right. Of course, I know there's always two sides to everything. It's a whiskey, maybe. Well, look, mister, if you ever do get to see Noli, not get together with Amy, but if you ever do get to talk to her, don't ever tell her you saw me. I mean, don't ever tell her you saw me like this.
She lowers her head.
I won't, Julie.
She looks into his eyes with a slight smile and slowly returns to her cabin. Ravenel stands and stares sadly at the newspaper clipping. It's daylight and the cotton blossom is in Natchez. Kim is playing with her dolls on the dock.
We get noisy people. We go asleep in the woods.
She puts them on a bale of cotton as a man steps toward her.
Hello.
Shh. You're going to sleep now. She always goes to sleep first.
Is your name Kim?
Uh-huh.
That's a very pretty name.
Ravenel sits on the bale beside her.
How did they call you Kim?
It's a geographical name.
Geographical?
The stork dropped me plop in the middle of the river.
Right? The middle of the river?
Uh-huh. Right between Kentucky, Illinois, and Missouri.
Oh, I see. K-I-M. Oh, that's very pretty. And did your mommy fish you out?
No, my grandpa did. He swims more better.
Oh. Well, is your mommy here?
Of course.
And where's your daddy?
Right here.
Here? You mean?
No, here. That's Snowy, and this is Gay. Horsey isn't my real daddy. He's far away someplace. So I just play make-believe. This is my daddy.
She pretends with her dolls.
Make-believe.
He stares thoughtfully, then looks at Kim.
Could you make-believe that I was your daddy?
You know how to play make-believe?
Oh, sure.
All right, you start.
Well...
He removes his top hat.
Let's see. First of all, I'd put you up on my knee like this.
He picks her up.
And then I'd put my arms around you. And then I'd say...
Only make believe I'm near you. Only make believe that you're with me. Girls and boys find it fun in pretending. Couldn't you? Couldn't I? Couldn't we? Darling, look. If your daddy really did come back, could you make believe that? Look, could you pretend that he'd ever been away? Could you, sweetheart?
Of course.
He hugs her.
Best of all, make believe I love you.
She gently touches his cheek and he kisses her hand.
For to tell.
He buries his face in her shoulder and cries. Nolly walks up and sees them. She steps toward them slowly and sees Ravenel hugging Kim and gently kissing the palm of her hand.
Kim.
The little girl looks up and runs to her mommy.
We were playing make-believe, Mommy. This is my mommy.
Nolly looks up at him and he gazes down at her.
Kim, your grandpa's getting ready to leave. You better go back on board now.
Kim gathers up her dolls and returns to Nolly.
He plays it real wonderful. Bye.
Goodbye.
They watch Kim run back to the boat.
She's lovely.
Yes. Yes, she is, isn't she?
You look fine too, Nolly.
Thank you, Gay. Have things gone well for you?
Yes, yes. I just happened to see the picture and I...
Picture?
Well, in the paper. And the article, I... No, there's so much that I want to say.
Standing on the dock, they gaze into each other's eyes. She throws her arms around his shoulders. They embrace and hold each other tightly. They walk toward the boat.
Party! Partini!
I still have my eyesight.
He's back!
It's Saturday night again.
Oh, it's Wednesday night. And don't you strike me.
It's Saturday night forever.
Nolly and Ravenal's shadows are cast against the cobblestone dock as they kiss.
Yes, and 4th of July, and Christmas, and Happy New Year.
She turns Captain Andy toward her and kisses him.
Perfect.
Get the boat started, the people.
Roll the wheel, Wendy. Cast off the bowline. All right, Joe, on the stern there.
Nolly and Ravenal board the Cotton Blossom.
You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge and lift that bill. You get a little drunk and you land in jail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying.
Kisses her fingertips. As the paddle wheel churns up the Mississippi and the Cotton Blossom glides slowly away, Julie steps back into the shadows. The End. Narrative script written by Dorothy Thompson. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Susan Crane.